Yeah, stand up for yourself and yeah. own your talents, yeah. own your strengths. Like, understand, like, that you're not as frail and vulnerable as you think you are. And I always say this, like, own your value. Like, not just physical value, but your mental value, your
yeah,
emotional
yeah,
value.
Yeah.
You need to own those things and, like, don't ever settle.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. Hey, what's up, friends? Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast. This is conversation number 84. I'm super excited and appreciative of your time and that you are here today. My guest today is the one and only, the great and powerful Colin Joseph Mayne. He is a physique competitor, an ex-MMA fighter, motivational speaker, an entrepreneur. We talked about a lot. We started with his career transition. He worked a not great job for 6 years, but he decided to make the change. He had his back up against the ropes, a few $100s in his pocket. That's it. And he talks us through his career transition into everything that he's doing now, and he describes a lot why he wasn't really successful in what he was doing before. Is because he wasn't interested in that, and I was the same way. I had this like learning epiphany in my mid-20s, and it was pretty much the same for him. So if you're interested in making that career change and you just don't think you're interested in anything, you don't know what direction to take it, this is definitely the conversation for you. Colin talks about owning your value and not settling, and those are things that perfectly align with this podcast. Remember, you can find this podcast and all other podcast things on christophlewis.com/podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Christoph Lewis. I am always here to do my best to give you examples of people that have gone out there, and regardless of their back up against the ropes, they went out there and they made a change for the better. You have a choice. Whether you're in the military, you're in a contract, the contract ends. Whether you're a civilian, you want to change jobs, you can quit. You can find your job. You don't have to do it immediately. You can start that now, and you can taper out of it and do something else. These are all examples. This is the 84th example of that. You can do it. I have faith in you. Colin did it. He had faith in himself, and this is his story. So without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
I appreciate you having me on there, buddy.
Yeah, man. We've been talking for a little bit, just keeping in touch. I've been following you on Instagram for quite a while, along with other, like, I don't know, 750,000 other people at this point or something, probably more. It's pretty impressive, but it's just because you put out good content all the time and you're just a down-to-earth guy. Like, that is something I'm super appreciative of, man. So thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, and like I always say, like, the more relatable you are, the more marketable you're going to be, the better your brand's going to
be.
Man. Like, and that's the thing. Like, people don't want to, like, look up to somebody on a pedestal and be like, oh, I can never be like that. Like,
you're right.
Have somebody to emulate or something like that, but like people want to be able to relate to you. Like people want to know that you fuck up too, and like you make mistakes and you're struggling with things as well.
Yeah. I just had a conversation with a guy that was 9 years. I was telling you I was in the Navy. He's 9 years EOD, so he was in Naval Special Warfare as well, like I was. And I was telling you I was doing like combat RTO stuff, so I was out there running around doing mobile comms. For everybody that's listening that doesn't know what that is, I'm running around with a saddle or antenna on my back making satellite communications. And this guy was in the military for 9 years. He's still in there, and he's dealing with some serious shit. He had an injury while diving, and I felt for him. And he was like, I'm a dude, and it's always been hard for me to talk about like my feelings and stuff. And then he's like, but I'm connecting with you because you've kind of lived a similar but different life, and I can connect with you. So like what you just said totally resonates with me, because when you can connect with somebody on any kind of level and see that's obtainable, you can talk about these things or success or entrepreneurship or whatever it is. When you can connect with somebody, that's what's the ultimate, man.
Yeah. And like, something that like one of my exes always taught me was like, she would say like, people will relate and be vulnerable with you if you go first. Like if you're the first one to be vulnerable and open, people follow suit, because people are afraid to be the first one. So like something she always said was go first, be first. So
that's awesome. Always, yeah. I like that.
relationship. And yeah, like even like one of my buddies, he's on SEAL Team 10. I was talking to him last night.
Yeah.
And he's kind of in that transitional period. He's got to re-sign in November if he's going to do like the full 20. I think he's at like the 10-year mark right now.
Yeah. The shit or get off the pot time.
Yeah, so like he said that, like, do I get out or do I stay type thing?
Yeah.
We were having a good conversation about that. And like, man, yeah, it was really good, vulnerable, in-depth conversation. He's overseas right now, so.
God bless him. Yeah, I've been in that boat before. But you're right. Like, it's funny you say that because I feel like we just had identical conversations. So I'm glad like other guys are going out there and having this. I just posted on my Instagram, like being vulnerable as a guy can be hard to do. But I think like you said, when you put yourself out there and you're like, and you're just like, you're putting your receptors out, you're like, dude, I'm willing to talk. And I told this guy, I was like, listen, I'm not afraid to say that shit about myself. Because if I'm authentically myself, I am me, and I put this out there that I'm okay with talking about this shit, and you don't like it, and you think it's lame or some shit, like, then we don't need to connect. Like, that's your prerogative, but we don't need to connect, you know? So when you, like, and you've been doing it for a while, so when you've been putting yourself out there for a while, and your fitness, you're doing your MMA stuff, your motivational speaking, your entrepreneurial shit, you're like, this is me, this is who I am, I'm gonna continue to do this, and those are the type of people that, they can sense that. And then they gravitate towards that because you reciprocated as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I've always been under the mindset of like if you don't like me, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm
move on. You don't got time for that shit, you know?
Awesome, cool. Like, there's 7 billion people on the planet. I don't give a shit what you think about me. Like, this is who I am. And then people that do like you, and they'll gravitate towards you, like you're saying.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So like I was saying, we talk about a lot. Like, I'm super like, I guess I'll give you a quick tidbit background. Like, I was so hesitant. You're talking about your friend. He's hesitant to get out. 10-year mark. I was at my 9-year mark, hesitant to get out. It was very, very scary for me. And I think whether you're in the military getting out or whether you're just a civilian going to another civilian job, it can be scary, just like that career transition. That's one of the reasons I created this. But I was reading like one of your bios somewhere on the interwebs, and it was like you said you were an oil field welder in Northern Canada for 7 years. Yeah, I was like, you don't pronounce it that way. If I can't laugh at myself, man. But I think it's like really interesting that you said that, and that like you're doing all this stuff now, because I think a lot of people, speaking about vulnerabilities, they don't always say like, oh, I came from all this stuff and it really taught me like who I am today. So I think that's pretty incredible. But I want to kind of know, like, in your own words, like I talked about you a little bit in the introduction that we all heard already, but in your own words, like, how did you kind of go from working for that? Because 7 years, again, is a long time. How did you go from working in that to like what you're doing now?
So like my intention was never to do the oil field route. Like my dad was, he's in the Canadian Special Forces. He was in the JTF, which is similar to like your guys' SEAL Team 6. It's like a tier one operator unit.
Yeah.
So that was always my route. Like, I always wanted to go into like CSOR, which is Canadian Special Operations Regiment, and then go into JTF, which is Joint Task Force. That was always my game plan. Like, my dad was like basically like G.I. Joe growing up. So I was like, oh, fuck, like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
But at the time, they had an influx of like candidates that were going the CSOR route, and you couldn't have a criminal record.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got a criminal record. I got in a bar fight, got like a 5-year criminal record. Cost me like hundreds or tens of thousands of dollars. Wasn't allowed in any liquor establishments for a few years. I had probation for a couple of years. It was super shitty. So that dream was kind of taken away from me when I was like 19. Actually, I think I was like 18 and a half or 19 or something like that.
Yeah.
But it took like a year and a half to go through courts. So that was stripped away from me. I didn't want to go to school. I was totally against post-secondary education. I thought it was a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
And like a waste of money. So I went to the oil field.
Yeah.
At the time, we were making really good money. Like, oil was booming. Oil's massive up here in Alberta. So I went the welding route because I was like, oh, it's the easiest ticket to get to make good money. So went through like trade school. It's like 4 years of trade school, but it's not really 4 years. It's like 1 year. It's four-month increments is what it is. It's like 3 months, then 1,500 hours of work, 3 months, 1,500 hours of work, which when you're working like 14 hours a day, it's pretty easy to run out of hours. So did that, got my certification. I was pipe welding in the oil field, got a rig, started my own welding company and stuff like that.
Nice.
Did that for probably like 6.5-ish years or something like that, 6-7 years. pretty much like 18 and a half to like 25 or 26. And then, yeah, I was just like, you're fucking miserable. You're in desolate, cold, secluded areas in the middle of Northern Canada, and you're welding for 12 to 14 hours a day, and you're working anywhere from 7 to 35 days straight. So you make a shit ton of money.
Sounds like a deployment.
Yeah, you have absolutely no life. And like, then you have no time to spend it. You don't, you make all this money and you're not getting to do anything with it. So, and I was just partying, and like, when you do get like 4 days off, you basically just get drunk for two, have a good time and sleep for one day, and then you go back to work. So like, it wasn't the life that I wanted. Like I learned a fucking ton, like, and I'll never ever regret the experiences I had.
Sure.
Got to see wolves take down caribou and stuff like that when I'm out welding in the middle of fields, and grizzly bears and black bears and elk and cool shit. And we were on a bombing range, and F-18 fighter jets would go over and break the sound barrier over top of us. It was a super cool experience.
Wow. That is cool. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a pretty cool experience.
But that's a good mindset to have, though. If I may just to interrupt for 1 second, I'm just saying, like, I want everybody to take away and not miss what you're just saying is, like, it was kind of, you said it was shitty. There was a lot of shitty parts, but look at all this awesome stuff that I experienced as well. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, and like where we were, like, there, it was the coldest place on the planet a handful of days out of the year. So, like, yeah, it fucking sucked. But but in that suck, like, you learn to appreciate other things. Like, now I have no problem working 14 hours straight on my computer, networking at events and working. So, like, I know it could be a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of harder ways to make a buck. So then eventually it got to the point where I was like, fuck this, I'm over this. And I had no money. I ended up making a poor business decision, fucking lost a bunch of money. So I had no money saved. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to met a girl. This seems to kind of be my MO. I chase women around all over the country and stuff like that. But, met a girl. She was on the opposite side of Canada. Just packed up my stuff in garbage bags, bunch of clothes in garbage bags, drove like 3,700 kilometers across Canada, which is like, I think it's like 2,800 miles or something that. Drove across Canada. I knew nobody. I think I had like $1,100 in my bank account. Cost me like $800 in gas to get there. Ooh. So I basically showed up there with like $300 in my bank account, fucking unemployed. And I was like, well, I'm just here. So
holy shit.
I needed to make some shit happen and not be homeless and not have this girl kick me out. So started my first online company, and I started understanding the power of social media and branding and doing – I was fighting in MMA and stuff like that.
What year was this?
This would have been 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
15 was off the oil field. And okay. I grew my brand and my first online company, which was my fitness company. Just because I was big into strength conditioning, I was helping a lot of the MMA fighters and stuff like that, like helping them make cut weight and stuff like that. So then I was like, well, I don't want to trade time for dollars. So I got into online training and capitalizing and maximizing the amount of revenue and protecting my time. So I quickly learned how to market and brand myself, grew my social media following. Then ultimately I started a second company. I started a marketing company, which took off, and we did really well. I was doing like BMW dealerships and high-end doctors and dentists and anybody that had fucking money to dump into marketing.
Sure.
So then in that, I partnered up with my business partner, and we created another company called Left Side International. I kind of specialize in legal marketing now, in that, but we do all sorts of social media and stuff like that. And then from there I grew a third company, which is a high performance business coaching company. We're doing super well, partnered up with one of the top real estate agents in Canada who owns a bunch of restaurants and nightclubs and stuff like that. So grew those companies, and those are kind of like my thing, and I got some real estate investments and stuff like that.
Nice.
But I always wanted to do my own thing and work on my own terms and have my vision of what I want success to be.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. I mean, thanks for sharing all that with us. I think it's really incredible to see how it unfolds. That's one of the, I kind of was telling you a little bit why I started it, but another reason why I started it is to just, I say, like, give real life breathing examples of people like, okay, this is Colin. This is what he did. He had this for 7 years. He had some shitty experiences. He had some good experiences, and he saw a lot of silver linings in the clouds. And then you essentially had your back up against the ropes, and you had $300 in your bank account and you drove across the country and you're like, I got to make something happen. And then you made something happen. And I think a lot of times you can go two ways. You can either, go ahead, please.
That sink or swim mentality.
Exactly.
For everything. Like if I'm always in a decision where I'm like, I don't know, this is going to make me uncomfortable. That's the decision I'm going to do because I know that I'm going to come out. I'm going to figure out a way to fucking like come out on top. So, or I'm going to learn something very valuable. like I never say you never fail. You always learn.
Yeah, no. I 100% subscribe to that. And it's funnier because the older I get and the more experiences I have and the more I put myself into positions where I feel uncomfortable, the more I fucking realize that those are the paths that I should be taking. It's like it's like somebody's purposely built some path for me and trying to scare me away saying, shoo, don't come here. And it's just all, it's all fucking lie. It's all lie. And then I just get past this asshole here saying like, don't come down here. And then I start going down the path and I'm like, yo, hello. Does anybody see this here? Like, why is nobody walking down here? Just because this one idiot was saying, don't come down here.
Or it looked like it was difficult, and
that's a great point to take away because it looks like it is one thing, and then because it is, because people sometimes they actually do start walking down the path, they're like, oh, this isn't so bad, and then they start hitting some roadblocks and they're like, oh, I'm just going to turn around and take the easy path the other way, you know, even though the fruits are way greater this way. So I think you kind of told that nonchalantly, like, I had my back up against the wall. I started these companies and bing, bong, boom, like I'm on this company, like three companies later. But like, I'm sure you had your fair share of obstacles and failures along the way and places where you wanted to give up and like, go, man.
Short and sweet versions. I did this, and that. And then it worked out. Like, I wish it fucking worked out that way. It didn't work out that way. There's a lot of anxiety and stress and trials and tribulation. And
it's hard. And it's hard to manage that.
Yeah, and like bad business investments, bad business partners, like things that I've learned in that sense. But like, I'd be here for 2 hours if I was explaining all that.
Well, you had a quote, I think it may have been on your website or something else, but I really liked it. So I wrote it down and I didn't want to say it. It said, never be ashamed or regret what you have done in your past, because everything in life is either a learning experience or a burden. It's all how you look at it. And it's funny. Yeah. That I wrote that down and I really liked that. And then you've just said that already, twice. So I think in your experiences were the same way. And then with you seeing the silver lining and everything, it's just, I think those are the types of people that will prevail even when you go down the path less traveled and you see that it is absolutely hard. Those type of people that can see the good out of bad situations and see that it is a learning experience and that you can get it. Like one of the biggest lessons I learned in the military, when I worked with SEALs, was my officer in charge told me when I was frustrated and when the team was frustrated that it's not that we can't figure it out and that there isn't a solution. It's just that we, one, haven't thought about it enough, or in the military's case, we didn't have enough money to get it done. You know, like, but my point is like, when there's a will, there's a way, and you're probably no stranger to that.
Yeah, like I agree 100%. And I always say, like, struggle breeds greatness. In every trial and tribulation, there's
love
a
that.
Learning lesson.
Love that.
Like, I was just – because I shot a podcast on my podcast today, and our guy that edits it, I was, like – I was making a joke that I used to have to wear a helmet when I was a kid, and he's like, what do you mean? So I have, like, a scar on my head here, okay. But I miss a chunk of my skull. Like, you can't see because it's under my hair.
Jesus.
But, when I was a kid, I fractured my skull. I got teenagers were riding bikes by and the handlebars clipped my head and ripped like my fucking brains and like my skull open and stuff like that when I was like 5. So I had to wear a helmet. I had to wear a bike helmet for like, because I had no car. So it was just fucking my brain. So I had to wear a bike helmet to protect my head for like 2 years. So when you're the kid that wears a bike helmet to school from like grade, like kindergarten to like grade 2.
Kids are brutal.
Oh yeah. Like you're not fucking
winning
anymore. Kids
are brutal.
So I had that, but I also had like a learning disability. I didn't learn how to read or write until I was like 11. But in that process, the doctors gave me like a series of games and stuff like that and tasks that I had to do. And I would always do them with my dad. And a lot of them were memory based. So I'd play games of like memory and stuff like that. And I think in that process, like I'm really good with names, numbers, and like places and dates and times. So that has only aided me like so much through business. I used to hate it. Like I couldn't read. I couldn't like comprehend things. And it was such a fucking embarrassment when I was a kid. But now it's been like my biggest power that I almost have like a photographic memory with a lot of different names, dates, and times. So it helps out a lot of relationships. It's very easy for me to remember things that my partner likes and that they mentioned one time or something like that. I made a note of. So it's there's always a blessing in disguise in difficult situations.
But it's so hard to tell at first, cause especially you're a kid. I mean, like I was saying, like kids are fucking brutal. Like kids are so brutal, man. Like if you like, I don't know, like if you're running around with a helmet on, like, and,
I think they're even worse with like social media and like the rain.
God, like, but
as a kid, like I'm the only one that has pictures of me with a fucking bicycle and stuff like that on. Not other kids taking pictures with their cameras. And stuff like
that. God, so, man. And that's the thing, like, it's you have a great mindset about it now, and it's so hard to realize that at the time, especially as a child. Like, I struggled with my own things, and I was bullied. I read, I think you had comments somewhere again on the interwebs I had seen that you had been bullied, I think, in your teenage years because you were scrawnier, and now you're this fucking jacked dude. So I think that's funny how that turns out, too. It kind of reminds me of when I talked to Boss Rutan, and he was telling me he got bullied as a kid, and now he's fucking Boss Rutan. Like, Google that shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's just funny how that happens, and I was bullied a lot as a kid because I was always this tall I wasn't 6 foot fucking two when I was a kid, but I was always tall, and I was always skinny, and I had a lift to get bigger. Like, that was the only way, and I had to eat everything under the sun. But I'm no stranger to getting bullied and getting broken. Like, my collarbone's been smashed by a bully, like, fucking annihilated. So I get it, but I think it can be very difficult to understand what's going on when you're a child. So I guess my question to you would be, like, you did experience all those things, and it's really tough as a child, but now you're able to see the benefit from that. But I think, like you said, you can go to the darkness or you can go to the light. Why do you think that you didn't succumb to all the bullying and just not have confidence in yourself, and you've been able to essentially arise from the bullying ashes and become the guy you are today?
I when I was a kid, like, I was always like, oh, this fucking sucks that, like, I have this, like, brain injury and I can't, like, I'm not as smart as I feel like grade 9. And, like, it wasn't that I wasn't good at school. I had no fucking interest in learning anything in school. Like, that took me probably, like, 24 to figure out that it's not that I'm dumb or anything. It's just, if I don't have an interest in something, you can't teach me. I'm not going to listen to it. Like, I have no interest in learning.
Exactly the same.
Like, but if I am interested in something, I'm balls deep in it. Like, I'll spend hours researching. Like, if I stumble across an animal, I think their mating habits are cool. I'll spend like 4 hours thinking about a bird's mating habits or something. Like, if I'm into something, like, I'm into something. But if I'm not, like, you couldn't pay me enough to fucking listen. And that was something when I was a kid. Like, I was always self-conscious about, like, my grades and stuff like that. But I was always really good at sports. Just luckily my dad passed down good genetics to me, but I wasn't very big. So I always got picked on and bullied because I wasn't, like, very big. And then, like, one day I was just, like, I think I was, like, 14, and I was at a party, and this, like, the big bully, he was, like, the popular kid in school, was ripping on me. And I was like, you know what, fuck this. Like, I wonder what happens if I just beat him up. And then I just ended up beating the shit out of him. And then it kind of, like, after that, it set the tone. And I was like, hey, you know what? Like, I can stand – I'm not condoning just beating people up. But at the time, like,
unless you're in prison.
it didn't dawn on me that, like – yeah, stand up for yourself and own your talents, own your strength. Like, understand, like, that you're not as frail and vulnerable as you think you are. And I always say this, like, own your value. Like, not just physical value, but your mental value, your emotional value.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, like, you need to own those things. And, like, don't ever fucking settle. And I was like, and after that, like, I stopped getting picked on when I was, like, 15, 16. And then that's kind of what led me into MMA. I was like, oh, hey, like, I'm kind of good at this thing.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, that's a funny way to fall into a new talent, right? Like, I beat the shit out of him, so I felt like I was kind of good at that. But, man, I've been in my fair share of fist fights as well, and I had the same thing, man. Even, like, I was a middle schooler, I was getting picked on, and I got in a fight with a high schooler and beat the shit out of him. Like, set the tone for when I was coming into high school. So, no, I totally... Yeah,
like, those are, like, and, like, in Canada, like, we can drink over 18, but, like, I was always... I was sneaking into the bars, like, when I was like 13, 14 and stuff.
Jesus, that's young, man.
Yeah, I remember getting into fights with, like, adults when I was like 14, 15, 16, 17, and, like, just beating them up. So I was like, oh, like, I'm good at this, like, hobby or this task. So, let's embrace like, I grew up in a small town. Like, there's only one bar. Everybody knows each other. Like, you get picked up by the cops to kind of just drive you home, or they like tell you not to do it and drive away. Yeah. So it was good in that manner. Like, I grew up in a good place that taught me a lot of good life lessons, and I didn't get into too much trouble. I got into a lot of trouble, but not enough like bad trouble. It was good, and I learned a lot. And I'll never ever go back to that hometown just because like I kind of overgrew it, but it was a good place that I grew up in. And it was good.
Those are all good lessons. Like, regardless of what's happened has happened. So how are we going to learn from that? How are we going to move forward? And I very much subscribe to that notion. Like, I was at a point in my life where I pretty much just regretted a lot of things that I was doing, the way I was treating people, the relationships. You've brought that up a few times. Like, these are all very important things. And I was not proud of who I was. And I was like, well, listen, like, you can't go back and change any of that stuff. So you're going to have to, number one, you're going to have to come to peace with it, with yourself, so you can move on. But then you're going to have to learn from it as well and apply that to the future. Like, how did you treat yourself? Were you honest with yourself? How did you treat other people, your family, relationships? Like, I was so selfish is what it boiled down to.
How old were you when you kind of like had this transitional shift?
Yeah, I specifically remember. It's when I first, it's coupled with one of the other things that you brought up, and you said you weren't interested in learning at all, right? I was not at all. I did okay in school, but I did it just to probably keep my parents off my back, right? So not until, to answer both questions at once, I was in my mid-20s, 31 now. So I was in my mid-20s about 6 or 7 years ago, and I realized I fell into podcasts for the first time. I found Joe Rogan, which obviously podcasts have been around a lot longer than that. I found podcasts. I have now like hundreds of books behind me. I hated reading in high school. I read a book a week now, like hands down. And I found out I love learning. And it's like when you said, when you find something you love, holy shit, your world opens up and you're like, how? It's almost like, and I was telling somebody else, it was Grant Cardone. I was like, dude, I wish this shit was there when I was younger. And he's like, idiot. You know how Grant is. He's like, it was always there. You just, you know, you weren't shown it. And I was like, I wish, he didn't call me an idiot. I'm just joking. But I wish I had known though. I wish somebody had just, you know, I'm not taking responsibility for it, but I wish somebody would have been like, hey, check out this podcast or listen to this book or, you know, read this book or something.
Like, your mindset needed to be in the exact point that it was when you were 25 or whatever it was.
I like that. Otherwise, I like
that.
If you
could have told me when you're 18, you would have been like, yeah, cool.
You, like, you know, and it probably did happen. Colin, I had another epiphany. Thank you. I think with all the, these podcasts are for me as well. Like, obviously that's why I do them. I like to capture them and share them with other people, but no, you're absolutely right. So I would hope everybody would just like definitely hear, like, now I'm the case study that maybe it's just not the right time for you. Because like I've said, like, I just gave a couple examples of talking to different people. It's like, I wish I had known about this stuff. And you know, maybe for you in high school too, or whatever, it wasn't the right time. And now I'm like, fuck yeah.
Maturity or whatever it may be, or just that one moment to, or that one person or interaction that like piques your interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
Like when I was welding, when you're going through your apprenticeship, you have to weld under somebody that is ticketed. And I got partnered with somebody that was like huge into Tony Robbins and Dale Carnegie and personal development. And like, and nice. I made fun of him nonstop. I was like, this is the stupidest thing. Like,
see?
Dumb. This is what you're like listening to. Like, let's put music on. Like, and to this day, like, I'm super grateful for him. Like, he's like, nope, like, this is what I want. He stuck to it. He didn't let
good
me
for
like
him. Hear. Yeah. Good.
And I'm forever thankful. And then
that's so cool.
This probably, I was like 23. And then when I was pretty much around the exact same.
Yeah.
It's probably 25-ish, like people start being like, all right, like I need to.
Not everybody, but some people, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was like, same as you, I hated reading. I never read a book until I was like 25. But at the same time, I hate I hate fiction.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to spend that much time reading something.
There's not a single, there's not a single fiction book behind me.
Yeah, I can't read something that's not applicable to my life. So like, if you give me a book and you're like, hey, you can read this and like, this will teach you how to better communicate to people, I'm fucking all into it.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Like, I'll crush a book in like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
But like, I have to be interested in it. It's the same thing with school. Like, I'm not interested, I'm not going to learn it.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like in school, they always give you like I don't know, The Outsiders or Lord of the Rings or something like that. And, like, I'm not interested in fucking warlocks or whatever the heck they are. So, but that was the biggest thing. And like, it took me, I dated a girl and I'm forever grateful for her. Her name is Julie. She always asked me questions and was like, why are you like this? Like, and she was always asking me thoughtful questions. And she was big into Tony Robbins and big into personal development. And she was the girl that told me the thing that took the go first thing. I'm always forever grateful for all my relationships. Like, they've always taught me.
That's something. A good mindset, man. That's tough. That's it can be tough for people to do that. But that's what every single thing that you've brought up, no matter if it was hard, and relationships are especially hard because you can be so emotionally attached to it. So that's a great place to be.
Yeah, and like, that's the biggest thing. Like, I've been cheated on, and I've had like relationships end poorly and stuff. But at one time, that was your best friend, and that was exactly what you wanted. So like, you can always go back and be like, there's always a learning lesson in each relationship. So, I'm on good terms with all my exes and all my past.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, man. I wanted to touch on real quick before we get done here, because it's already like 30 minutes is whizzed by already. But like, we're a lot of stuff we're talking about is like being interested in it. And I think it goes back all the way to where we were talking about career transitions, and you were talking about how you got into what you were doing, and you started doing things that you like, the online businesses and all things like that, right? So if you're not interested in it, and like you said, long hours, right? 14 hours, 16 hours, maybe longer. So regardless if you're used to those hours or not, if you're not interested in it, like, that was your job. You were doing it at the time in the oil fields, right? But now when you're doing something on your own, if you're not interested, there's no way in hell that you're going to be able to work that long. Like, I've been doing the podcast for 17 months, 100 and like however many episodes it is, 120 episodes by this point or something, 130 episodes. And I haven't got paid a dime because I love doing it. And I'm just like focusing on talking to people like yourself, talking to people like everybody else that's been on here and sharing that content. And I don't give it, frankly, monetization would be great. I'm not going to not have somebody pay me, but I'm more focused on bettering myself, encapsulating what we're doing right now and sharing it with other people. So the point I'm trying to make is saying, not that I'm a perfect example, that's, I get it, but do what you love. You'll do it better, right? You'll do it way better eventually. And you'll be able to spend more time on that without thinking that I'm sick of doing this shit. And that seems like what you've done.
Yeah, and everything comes down to value and passion. If you don't have the passion or the interest or drive to do whatever you're doing, it that's going to be what motivates you and fuels you through those like 12, 13, 14-hour days, or when you want to turn around and quit or whatever it may be. And you need to be adding value. That fulfillment of adding value, like you get from the podcast, like I get from people that enroll in my business coaching, like I can show somebody how to go from making $4,000 a month to making $12,000 a month. That changing their life is value to me.
Hell yeah.
And I'm always wanting to put as much value into myself as possible in order to give back to my friends, my partners, my lovers, like whatever it may be, anybody that comes around me. Because the more value you have in yourself, the more value you can give back to others, the more success, happiness, love, appreciation you can give. So like, I always picture my life as like a toolbox, and the more fucking skills and tools, you know this working with operators, the more skills and tools you have, the more you become a jack of all trades, the more value you have, the more you have of value to give back to others. So like, that's something I was always like, I want to learn how to fucking remove a carburetor. I want to learn how to fucking, I don't know, fix a fucking horse's shoe. I want to learn as much skills as possible in order to succeed in life, because you never know when a skill is going to become valuable, or you can relate or refer somebody to another person. Like that, and that comes out of networking as well.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation. Like, if I've learned anything with podcasting, being a one-man band for podcasting for, like I said, however many episodes it's been now, like, networking, man, networking, 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 being good with people. Man, that's great advice from the man, the myth, and the legend, Colin Joseph, everybody. I really appreciate it. If they're not one of the 750,000 people that already follow you, how can they follow you?
Yeah, just type in Colin, C-O-L-L-I-N, and then Joseph, J-O-S-E-P-H, _ main. I'm sure it'll probably come up when you type in Colin Joseph, though. So,
yeah, easy day, man. And share with everybody again, what's the name of your podcast?
My podcast is Fortitude 100. Yeah. So it's on iTunes, it's on Spotify, so you can search it. I think we only got about 8 episodes out so far. We're coming out tomorrow, so I think that's our next episode.
Okay.
Every Friday.
Okay, yeah, so by the time this comes out, I always record 2 weeks in advance because I like that cushion. So a mini podcasting tip out there for anybody that's podcasting right now listening to it. I have a 2 week cushion, which is essentially a 4 guest cushion. So that's will be a couple more episodes by the time yours comes out.
Yeah, that was the same. I think we shot 10 episodes before we even launched the first one because we wanted to have
cushion. Yeah, it's a really good idea. Colin, like I said, man, I'm very appreciative of your time. Obviously, you have your hands in a lot of cookie jars. You're doing a lot of things, talking to a lot of people. You got your own podcast, your own businesses. So I know your time is precious. So thanks very much. I really enjoyed our conversation. I hope you did too.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I really appreciate it.
All right, man. Have a good rest of your night. See ya.